Thank you so much, Lisa. We'll get another update from you coming up in an hour. Now 9:37, and alongside this month for his monthly visit here at the Mary Griffith Show, Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here as well. I had to mention your name a couple of times in the newscast, including one that the department announced yesterday afternoon. Somebody is out there calling people, saying they're you, and trying to get money from people.
Right. Yeah, it's another one of these, I think, run-of-the-mill scams that you normally hear about, where a law enforcement agency will call, will provide enough information to convince somebody that there's a warrant for their arrest or an outstanding fine or something along those lines, and they need to provide some type of payment in order to clear up any charges or any warrants or anything like that. The specific issue with this particular group or whatever it is that's doing it is that they're spoofing the Quincy Police Department phone number. So if you were to look at the number, it would look like it's coming from the Quincy Police Department. And apparently they are either using my title or my name specifically when they are talking to people, just to lend a little more credibility, I guess, to the ruse that they're trying to pull. So, you know, we learned about it yesterday morning, first thing. An individual came down to the Quincy Police Department lobby with some paperwork ready to pay whatever they thought was owed, and that was literally when we realized this was going on. So we tried to get something out fairly quickly after we got a little bit of a handle on it. But, you know, folks just need to understand that we will never call someone on the phone and ask for an over-the-phone or online payment of any sort. We only collect money at the police department for parking tickets, and you have to come down and pay that kind of stuff. You know, if anybody has any questions, a lot of times people are very confused because they will have caller ID and the number came up. And I don't think people realize how easy that is to do now with some very simple computer software. So, you know, if you ever have any questions, hang up and call the number back. Because if you call the number back to the police department, it will ring at the police department and we'll answer the phone. And then we can tell you whether or not, you know, who you were talking to, you know, is legit, and what, and we can listen to your situation and go from there. So, you know, any law enforcement agency, if you ever get a call from a jail saying someone's been arrested and they need immediate bail money, always be suspicious of that. Always do a little bit more checking and, you know, maybe involve another family member to make sure something's legit before you just start planning to send money anywhere.
Right, right. Let's just go over basically what the actual procedure is. Like if there's something about a court case, you won't get a call, you'll get a letter.
Yes, they'll send you a letter, or if you have missed court and there's a warrant for you, we're going to come to your house and arrest you. You know, I mean, it sounds a little bit harsh, but that's how it works. You know, we don't generally call people and ask them to show back up to court. They'll get some kind of correspondence, either through the county clerk's office or the circuit clerk, that says, hey, you missed court. You know, it probably will even say there's been a warrant issued for your arrest. You can come down and turn yourself in. This is what you need to bring as far as bond, things like that. So, yeah, that kind of stuff does not take place over the phone.
Right. The only thing that I can even think of that might even come close where people would hear the word police is if something like a police union, like a fraternal order of police,
right,
the union might call for some sort of fundraising effort, like you're selling a calendar or something like that.
Correct.
But in terms of like you said, I was just going to point that out, is that, oh no, you'll pay them if there is a warrant for their arrest, you'll visit in person.
Right. And they'll have to get, because what we'll do is they'll collect the money and then you'll get a receipt that says, you know, if that's what the case is, or you show up to court and then you'll get an additional court date. You know, that's never going to happen when you're doing anything over the phone or anything online. So, yeah, I mean, and we have enough problems with, you know, these scammers that are acting like they're collecting money for the police benevolent or whoever it may be, not being legit. But in those cases, you know, really, we those do happen from time to time. But yeah, anytime someone's calling you wanting money to try to clear up some type of criminal charge or a warrant, that is always going to be a red flag, and you should never send them any money.
Exactly, exactly. One other thing that you mentioned yesterday, separate news release, is the fact that folks are out and about trying to worm their way into your vehicle once again.
Yes, this is an issue that we deal with quite often and generally more during the summertime months. You know, we have groups of juveniles that are not only getting into cars, but they're stealing cars that are easy to steal. And when I say easy to steal, generally what I mean there is, you know, it could be any car that has the keys left in it. or it could be specifically the Kia or the Hyundai model vehicles that have the security deficiency within the ignition that makes it very easy to pop the console and start the car with a USB cable or something along those lines. You know, these kids are familiar with these vehicles. They know how to do this. They're not taking the cars and running them down to the local chop shop and selling them off. I mean, they're just driving them around town. More often than not, when we have a report of a stolen vehicle, we'll find a previous stolen vehicle in close proximity to the next vehicle. So, you know, we believe that's how they're moving around town. So, you know, really some simple security stuff that folks can do. You know, make sure you lock your car, for one. Don't give anyone any reason to want to get into your car. So keep your valuables out of sight. Preferably take your valuables out of the car and into the house with you. You know, kids are not generally going to do any damage to your car to get in. But if they see that you have a computer or you know, an iPad or something like that, they may be more prone to, well, how can I bust the window and grab what I need to grab? So, you know, just take the temptation away and take the opportunity for them to climb in the car away. And then, you know, keep your keys out of your car. And if you do have a Kia or a Hyundai and you suspect that it may have that security deficiency, research that. Try to get that rectified so you don't wake up in the morning, expect to go to work, and your car's no longer in the driveway.
Right. And from what I understand for the Kia and the Hyundai models, it's before a certain year model, I believe, right?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I want to say it's 2015 to like 2019 or something like that. This has been a nationwide issue with these manufacturers. There is a fix out there, and I think that you can get the vehicle upgraded for free. You just have to know that your model is one that's affected and go take it in so that it can, you know, the issue can be rectified.
I would imagine just talk to the dealer, you know,
right.
If it's here in Quincy, probably Schottenkirk Kia, but if you're living elsewhere, the dealer nearest you that
yes.
would handle that and they would have that information.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're getting a little more organized and a little more aware of certain technologies that are out there in terms of like concealing their identities.
Yeah, you know, we obviously ask residents, you know, if anybody has people walking around late at night on their video cameras, anything like that, to, you know, help us out, provide us video. Obviously, I think the kids have figured out that that's one of our techniques now. And so they're taking additional steps to ensure that we can't look at them and identify who they are. So, you know, what we really ask the public to do is, you know, if you're like me and you're in bed by 9:30 at night, it, you know, really doesn't do a whole lot of good. But if you're up late and you hear something or you see somebody in your neighborhood that doesn't belong there, most people aren't going to be out and about walking at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, just call 911. Try to get a description, if you can, how many folks there are and what direction they're headed. Matter of fact, we just got a call last night. To a particular area of town, kids pulling on door handles of cars. That's exactly what we're looking for, because those are the individuals that we're going to try to locate and investigate whether or not they're participating in this kind of activity. So, you know, really, we can't be everywhere all the time. So a simple phone call to 911, even if you don't want to give your name, that's fine. Just let us know where we need to be and who we need to check on, and we'll get officers over there.
Yeah, and there's always Quincy Regional Crime Stoppers, too.
Yes. You know, the Crime Stoppers tips, the one thing I will say about those is there's generally a delay in us getting those. So if there's activity that's going on immediately, we always prefer that 911 call. That way we can get officers there sooner than later to check on the activity.
Exactly, exactly. The last time that we talked together, I asked you a silly question about does the heat hold down crime, and you laughed and said, no, it's the opposite. It annoys people, Scott. You should know that. Well, Monday we had quite a hot day. How did it go for the department?
You know, I think we spent a lot of our time both over the weekend and on Monday taking those burglar reports and those stolen vehicle reports. So it was busy. You know, I think we had an incident last night with some juveniles that were, you know, had fake guns that were causing issues around town. I think there ended up being a foot chase. You know, where our officers were told that there were people with guns. And, you know, those types of situations, I don't know if I equate that exactly to the heat or the fact that there's kids out there that don't have anything better to do. They get bored and they're trying to be cute. But those are very dangerous situations. And anytime you're threatening, you know, any individual with any type of weapon, you know, and ultimately there's probably going to be a police response. And, you know, our officers don't know exactly what's going on until they have an opportunity to talk to everybody. So, you know, if we had our way, we wouldn't play games like that. We understand kids are going to be kids, but when we're threatening people with bodily harm or death, those are taken very seriously. So, you know, we just ask parents to make sure they're having conversations with their kids about the potential, you know, outcomes that might happen when someone thinks that you have a gun and the police end up getting involved. And, you know, we can't control everything, but just making sure that people, when the officers do arrive, that they are following the officer's commands, because, like I said, the officer doesn't know that the gun's fake at the time. The officer may not know it's a BB gun. So we need to make sure that when we get there, we're going to try to de-escalate as best we can. But, you know, when you have a uniformed police officer that shows up on scene, please take that very seriously, because we don't want anyone to get hurt.
Yeah, and in fact, you know this, and I know this, the last time that a QPD officer ended up, well, not the last time, but an incident a few years ago near South Park, where a QPD officer had to draw their weapon and use it and killed someone, the person had a... They had not a fake gun, but almost like a pellet gun.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure did look real.
Right. The officer, in the split seconds that they have to make the decision on whether or not to use deadly force, is not going to be able to tell the difference between a fake gun and a real gun, especially when we're talking about those BB guns. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, as a kid, I did it, and I know kids do it today. You go to the store, you buy a BB gun or an airsoft gun, and it has an orange tip on it, and a lot of people think, well, that's going to be the, I mean, an officer's not going to see that. When those types of situations present themselves, you know, it really is split-second decisions. And we all know that the kids all go home and break that orange tip off as soon as they get to their house because they want it to look like a real gun. Very dangerous situations, and we just, you know, ask that everybody be very careful when you're out and about with these various types of toys. You know, it's dangerous. We just don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah, you basically, you never know.
Never know.
Yeah, exactly. We're at 9:49, talking it over with Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates. When we come back, we'll talk more about a recent Independent Day enforcement effort, how that did, and we'll talk more things involving the QPD when we come back on the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD.
The United Hearts Family Fest, sponsored by Peters Heating and Air, is Saturday.
Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Coming up on 9:53, in-studio guest, Quincy Police Chief Adam Yates. Glad to have you back again, sir.
Good to be here.
Recently, your officers were busy for a couple of weeks on the roads because of the 4th of July holiday, the annual Independence Day enforcement numbers that you start usually about the third week of June.
Right.
And on one hand, the good thing is, nobody was arrested for a DUI.
Right, yeah, and we hope that, you know, as we move through, you know, our societal shifts, and I think people start to recognize that there's just no point in driving drunk anymore. The chances of getting caught are increased. There's options available to make it so you don't have to drive from the bar to your house or from the bar to the next bar. So, you know, again, maybe folks would just slip through the cracks, but hopefully there's just fewer people out there driving intoxicated, and therefore, you know, we make fewer arrests, and we're hopeful that that's the situation.
I think people now are also starting to realize that if you are caught with a DUI, it's very expensive.
Very expensive. It's very inconvenient. You know, likely you're going to be without a driver's license for a period of time. And, you know, if you're a normal person that works and likes to go do stuff, that can be a serious impediment in your lifestyle. So it's just a lot easier to plan ahead if you're going to be out drinking and don't have to deal with those situations.
Right. That's one half of the enforcement campaign. The other half is getting people to buckle up.
Right. You know, seatbelts are very important. You know, I've said it before, but traffic crashes, you know, are the leading cause of property damage and injuries and deaths within the city of Quincy every year. So, you know, we want to make sure that people are wearing their seatbelts because, you know, you're just much more likely to either be not injured or to not lose your life in a major traffic crash if you're buckled up. And I know you guys report on them all the time. You hear about these crashes, a lot of them over Missouri. We talk about cars that end up off the roadway on their tops. And if your car starts to roll and you're not buckled into the car, you're going to end up coming out of the car. And that's the worst case scenario. Thankfully, it doesn't happen often in the city of Quincy, but we can't control every other driver. So making sure you're secure in your seat is very important.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. The fact that in Northeast Missouri. Three people died over the holiday weekend mm-hmm. from that. Two of them were in vehicles and they weren't buckled up.
Right. And it's very frustrating, you know, because we hear it and we hear it. And you know, we would like to think that had they been buckled up, they had at least had a chance to survive. But when you're not and your car starts to spin, there's very little you can do about that.
Especially when you're going at a high rate of speed.
Correct.
You know, physics takes over and you just can't sit there and think, oh, I'll just hold on to the steering wheel.
You're not going to hold on to the steering wheel. I mean, it's, yeah, the inertia is going to be much more than you're ever going to be able to control, and it can be devastating.
Right, right. So, you know, hate to tell you this, but hey, buckle up.
Right. It's for you and your family. Please put on your seatbelt.
Exactly, exactly. In the last few minutes that we are on the air here, wanted to get into something that we were talking about before the break, the fact that a lot of times when people are involved in some crimes, we were about to get to it, the fact that is a lot of times most crimes are caused from one of two reasons. People are in need of mental health treatment, or they are using illegal substances in order to medicate. You see that as well?
We see that quite often. You know, and it's all, for us, it's always unfortunate when we are dealing with someone that we know has a mental illness who has committed a crime. You know, really our answer for that is to put them in jail. And most of the time that's not where they need to be. But if the individual is not getting treatment or is not taking medication, we also can't just leave them on the street and let them continue to victimize other individuals by committing crimes. So, you know, that's our answer. But what we would much prefer to do is try to get to the root of the problem and have their mental illness or their substance abuse issues dealt with at the root level, so that the symptoms of committing crimes and causing issues out in the community go away. You know, there's a lot of programs that we have available to us that we can make referrals to mental health, you know, providers to hopefully, you know, I mean, get folks the help that they need, but we're not always successful. But we do see a very strong correlation between mental illness, substance abuse, and the crimes that are committed out in the community.
Yeah, and I know that the Adams County State's Attorney's Office has started like a more or less a mental health court, but it's you have to be involved. You have to be in the justice, criminal justice system in terms of like being a defendant in order to get involved with that and hopefully turn things around.
And not only be a defendant, but generally what you see in the specialty courts is folks that have been in the criminal justice system multiple times, and now they're looking at an actual prison sentence, and so this is kind of their last chance to get things rectified so they don't go into prison. What we would like to do is intervene on the front half, before they ever get into the criminal justice system, get them the help that they need and get them on a path where they're not going to commit any crimes and they're not going to have to defend themselves in court. They're not going to end up in jail or in prison. That would be the ideal situation. We're still working through exactly how we take care of that. But, you know, I think as the years go on, we get better at finding providers and getting folks referred in a direction that's going to get them some help.
It's almost, in the minute we have left, it's almost the same thing with domestic violence calls. You do have a working program with a health provider to kind of somewhat assist with domestic violence calls, don't you?
I think more so it's with the mental health calls. When we're dealing with folks that are obviously in mental health crisis or substance abuse crisis, and maybe they haven't committed a crime, but they clearly need some type of intervention, we have a contract with Clarity Healthcare where they will have trauma specialists that will come out and they will actually try to do immediate on-scene intervention. Transitions Mobile Crisis Team does the same thing. They have the ability to come out when we ask them to because we have someone that's struggling. So those are great resources for us that we can basically turn them over to those individuals that know how to treat these types of problems, and we can go back to doing what we need to do, and the person, you know, is going to get the help that they need.
Right, because it, you know, if they're in a jail cell, it's a lot harder for them to get the help they need, basically.
It is, and then they're going to have to answer for those charges, and that's, you know, again, if we can intervene on the front end, that's how we'd prefer to handle it.
All right, very good. We are running out of time here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
I appreciate it, Scott.
It really, really is, and cool weather is on the way, so let's knock on someone.
We just want everybody to be safe and happy, and we'll do our best to keep the community, you know, I guess, under wraps. And the cooler weather is definitely going to help.
It will. We're coming up on 10 o'clock. Stay tuned. Ramsey is next.